And were you all enjoying the transcendental happiness of dancing and chanting in kirtan this morning? No. So this is all the mercy of His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, by whose desire this Krishna consciousness movement is now spread all over the world. Of course, we can say it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. We can say it's the mercy of Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. We can also say it's the mercy of all the Vaishnavas who have worked hard to spread this movement. Of course, we especially always think of Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who personally came to the Western countries and preached to him. But Srila Prabhupada would always give all credit for his unprecedented achievement to his own Guru Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada was once, this is in the mid-70s when Islam was widely spread around the world, Prabhupada was once reflecting on his on the success of his mission. So Prabhupada said that I had many god brothers who were very learned and very austere and had so much association with Guru Maharaj, which I didn't have. In the Gaudiya Math, the sannyasis and brahmacharis used to refer to the householders as pacha grihastha, which means rotten grihastha. So Prabhupada said, I was considered a pacha grihastha. So Prabhupada said that, but then I wonder why this wonderful thing of the benediction of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, how this has happened to me. And Prabhupada said, when I examine, I find this qualification, that among all my godbrothers, I was the only one who had full faith in the orders of my Guru Maharaj. And even though many of my godbrothers, they were vastly learned in Shastra, but they didn't seem to have the faith in the success of the preaching mission as Prabhupada. And Prabhupada again and again would stress that my only qualification is that I simply tried to satisfy my Guru Maharaj. When Prabhupada first arrived in America, he wrote the famous poem, Narikina in Pabalan Dharma, which means Krishna consciousness in America, in which he prayed to Krishna that, why have you brought me to this terrible place? The people here are overcome by passion and ignorance. How can we preach Krishna consciousness here? But then in his poem, he mentioned the mercy of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Sri Siddhanta Saraswati, then Krishna Bhakti Devakarita said that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is very dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he preaches Krishna consciousness in many different places. Tar Icha Balavan, his desire is very strong. And Paschate, Tanta, in all the different places in the Western world. He wants that Krishna Bhakti will be spread. So he's praying for the mercy of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And the dream of the Vaishnavas has become true, that now all over the world people are chanting Hare Krishna in ecstasy. Now you've heard each morning here I've been chanting prayers to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So I'll just explain them. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutaleshi Mate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Iti Namane. This means that I offer my respectful obeisances to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, who is situated at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu and is very dear to Krishna in this world. So this has become the basis for the group or the generic, has become the generic type of mantra for all spiritual masters in the line of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Then the next line, Shivasha Bhavani Devi Dayataya Kripabdaye, means that his initiated name, the name he was given by Gorki Shardas Pabji Maharaj, is Shivasha Bhavani Devi Dayata Das. So So Varshabhanavi means the daughter of Vrishabhanu Maharaj, namely Radharani. And Dayata means the servant, so he's the servant of Radharani. And Kutabdhye means he's offering obeisances unto he who is an ocean of mercy. Krishna Sambhanda Vijnana Dayane Pavave Namaha. I offer my obeisances to him who is very powerful in bestowing scientific knowledge of our relationship with Krishna. Madhuryojvala Premadhya. He is Shirupanoga Bhaktida. He is the giver of devotional service in the line of taught by Rupa Goswami, followers of Rupa Goswami, which is enriched with Madhuryojvala Prem, which means a love of Krishna which is resplendent with the sweetest of rasas, namely the Shringara rasa, or that of between Krishna and particularly between Krishna and the gopis. Shivora Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute. He is the personification of the energy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Namaste Gauravani Shimurtiye Dinatarini. He is the personification of the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and is the deliverer of the fallen. And Rupanoga Virudha Prasidhanta Dvandaharini. He destroys the misconceptions which are propounded as wrong philosophical conclusions against those given by Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. Now, just as I was walking to this seminar, Jagatak Maharaj is also walking to his. But he's also giving lecture on Bhakti Sanseshwar Thakur's teachings in the form of his poem Vaishnava Cave. So as we were walking down together, we were discussing on the topic of the stool of pigs. You might think that's an unusual topic. Is there anything more disgusting than the stool of pigs? It's pretty difficult to think of anything more disgusting. We were discussing this because this is mentioned by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his poem Vaishnava. Okay? He said, Tava pratishta shukare bishya. This, your desire for fame, name and fame and honor, this is just like the stool of a pig. He was so strongly against misrepresentations of Vaishnavism that he compared it to the stool of a pig. Because at that time there were many so-called Vaishnavas who were presenting themselves as great devotees because they wanted people to honor them. They were making a show of being a devotee so that people would honor them. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur disliked this so much that he compared it to the stool of a pig. He was so uncompromising that he didn't accept any so-called devotional service unless it was actually pure and sincere. He was so forceful in his preaching. He once gave the meaning of the word sadhu. Generally we think a sadhu is someone very mild, very nice, very pleasing. They pat babies on the head and smile at them. And when people are feeling distressed, they come to sadhus, and sadhus say, never mind, don't worry, everything will be all right. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a different kind of sadhu. He said, a real sadhu is like someone who holds a sword in his hand. And he uses that to... And he said, the person who comes to him is like a sacrificial animal who he cuts. So he does this in order to cut away all their misconceptions. He said, the real sadhu and the real friend of the conditioned souls is one whose tongue is so sharp that it cuts them like a sword. And in this way cuts away their false ego. So Saraswati Thakur was like this, completely uncompromising. There are many famous, supposed to be sadhus and devotees, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he rejected them all unless they're actually pure devotees. At that time, the Indian independence movement was very strong. Really? Means the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's preaching, which was, well, he started organized preaching around 1920 and he passed away in 1936. So this Mahatma Gandhi, so-called Mahatma Gandhi, he had convinced the people of India that the cause of India's independence from Britain was a religious and spiritual cause. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he didn't. Mahatma Gandhi had his non-cooperation movement, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he also had his non-cooperation movement. He didn't cooperate with Gandhi and company. He used to welcome the British, and he used to, you see, previously the sadhus in particular, Hindus in general and sadhus in particular, they didn't like to mix with the British because they considered them very contaminated because they ate meat and particularly they ate cows, which was considered highly sacrilegious by Hindus. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he would invite the British leaders to come to Mayapur and to his different centers, and he'd honor them and make them the chairman of the meetings. And the British, if he invited them, then he thought, I have to arrange for meat and cigarettes for them. These are the things they take. So he was arranging this at Mayapur for the visit of Sir John Anderson, the governor of the United Provinces. So one of Saraswati Thakur's sannyasis, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, he protested. He said that surely this will bring a very bad name to the Gauriya Math. And Saraswati Thakur said that, you don't know, I've already planned this out many lifetimes ago. So like this, he did many revolutionary things. He came into Vrindavan very nicely dressed, riding in a car. Just try to consider, in those days, very few people had cars anywhere in the world, especially in India. Only the top British officers, some kings, some maharajas, and some very rich people could afford a car. And there were no proper roads either. Definitely at that time, the road to Vrindavan would have only been a dirt track. And the sadhus, they eschewed all kinds of Western contrivances. They wouldn't even like to use some small kind of gadget, let alone a full motor car. And what to speak in Vrindavan, the most holy place. If anyone had brought a car to Vrindavan, they would have protested that you're spoiling the atmosphere. And how could a sadhu, of all people, come to Vrindavan in a motor car? So the Babaji's there, they were shocked. See, they're just wearing a little cloth and they're leading a very austere life. The Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, I have come to teach you how to follow Rupa Goswami. Your wearing a little cloth is only imitation, but you don't have the realization of Rupa Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadama Hyam Dadati Swapadam Tikam. This mantra, well-known mantra, says that when will Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who was established within the world, the innermost heart's desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when will he bestow his mercy upon me? So generally Vaishnavas, they understand this verse to mean that Rupa Goswami explained the innermost desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which was his feelings of a devotee, especially the feelings of Radharani for Krishna, which is also... But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained it to me that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's inner desire is Priti Vite Achyajata Nagadati Gram Sabhattu Prachar Haive Muranam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire is that his name be preached in every town and village of the world. And he considered that according to the time, place and circumstance, it was necessary to adopt such means to preach Krishna consciousness. Once someone asked him that, well, why do you always preach to the top strata of society and the intellectuals? Why don't you go to the jungles and preach to the people living in the jungles and the poor people, like that. But Sarasvati Thakur said, I don't want Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement to be thought of as Chota Loka Dharma, or religion for the lower class or less important people. So he preached mostly among highly educated people. Such people are generally quite proud. Therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Dine re adhik daya kare bhagavan pandit kulin dhani bara abhiman. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that God particularly favors the fallen and poor people, because those who are born in aristocratic families, those who are very learned, and those who are very wealthy, they're generally very proud also. So such people are very proud, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he commanded their respect. He didn't want the people to think of him as just another kind of beggar sadhu. And in terms of intellectual ability, even advocates and professors and very intelligent and learned people come to him, but he would totally demolish them from all their arguments with his far superior intellectual genius. Even sometimes Western people would come to him, professors and different kinds of people, and they were sure that there was no defense of what they considered to be Hinduism. He said, you say that God has come as a fish, as a tortoise, and so many funny things. And your God, he is immoral. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati would explain in such ways that they could understand that his intellectual understanding is so far superior to them that they simply have nothing left to say. All right, I told you I'd speak something about some of his disciples. So let me start with Dati Shekhar Prabhu, who gave me much of the material for this book. Now, in one of Prabhupada's lectures or conversations, he says that one of my god brothers told me that he was a graduate of intoxication. Graduate of intoxication.
Means very experienced, or he had some degree.
That he's been through every type of intoxication.
Mm. So Prabhupada said about his godbrother.
Yeah, his godbrother told Prabhupada that he was a graduate of intoxication. Mm. There's no such thing as a graduate of intoxication.
Yeah.
There was no kind of intoxication that he hadn't used profusely. So I once asked Jati Shekhar Prabhu that, well, do you know who that person was? I read that Prabhupada had said this. Do you know who that was? He said, yes, that was my father. That he used to take every kind of intoxication. But once he heard a lecture of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and the next day he came to him and he brought his chillums and all this paraphernalia for smoking, his chillum, his hookah, all these different things. He brought it in front of him and said, this is my life up till now. So now I'm leaving all this, and you please give me in exchange one japa mala. So everyone thought he would die. Generally, if you're in Kasta, he would see he was taking opium and ganja and so on. If you just suddenly stop, if you're taking it in large quantities and suddenly you stop, then generally people, they may die or have a very serious reaction. But by the mercy of Saraswati Thakur and the holy names, his father, Trailokyanath Roy, he suddenly just stopped and there was no effect, no bad effect. So Jati Shekhar Prabhu, his son, he was about 14 years old when he started coming to the mat in Katak, Satchidananda Mat, and he used to stay there overnight. So one of the sannyasis, he said, who is this boy? Why is he coming and staying here at night? He doesn't have any home to stay in. So this came to the attention of Saraswati Thakur, who then asked Jati Shekhar that, well, why are you coming at night? So Jati Shekhar replied that I heard this one verse, Shri Guru Vashtakam Etadu Chai Brahme Mahurte Patati Prayaknad Tameva Vrindavanata Sakshat Sevaiva Lavya Chanshunta Eva, which means it's a verse written by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to describe the effects of chanting the Guru Vashtakam, or the prayers beginning with Samsara Dharma Navarina Bhoga. So Vishnu Chandra Thakur gives blessings that anyone who in the Brahma Mahurta carefully chants this prayer, Shri Guru Vashta, loudly, carefully and loudly chants this prayer, will at the time of leaving his body attain direct service to the Lord of Vrindavan. So Jati Shekhar Prabhu said, that's what I want. I want to get direct service to Krishna and Vrindavan. So Saraswat Thakur said, you see, he has good interest. He's coming for the right reason. You should let him stay. He said, so, yeah. Now Bhaktisthan Saraswat Thakur, he was, in his youth, he was famous as an astrologer. But he gave it up to practice Krishna consciousness, wholly and solely. And if anyone asked him what would happen in future, he would say, whatever is Krishna's wish. And he would never just say, like, we are going here, or we shall do this, but he would always say, Krishna willing. But sometimes, occasionally, you look at the devotee's hand and make some comment. One brahmachari saw his hand and said, you will have to get married. So, he saw Jati Shekhar Prabhu's hand, and he said that there was some chakra in his hand, and he said, this is the sign that you are empowered to write in articles that will cut the misconceptions. And even when he was very new, coming to the mat, Jati Shekhar, just as a young boy, Bhaktisthan Saraswat Thakur asked him to write a poem. He first of all asked him that Bhaktisthan Saraswat Thakur recited the two verses from the 11th canto of Bhagavatam describing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Beginning Tadvasu Dustrija Sarepsita Raja Lakshmin, which they describe him. So he asked Jati Shekhar Prabhu that, do you know these verses? So Jati Shekhar Prabhu replied, yes. So Bhaktisthan Saraswat Thakur asked him to compose some poem in Oriya describing these verses. And several times he called Jati Shekhar Prabhu and asked him, he would speak to Jati Shekhar Prabhu in Bengali, but he would ask, and he would give him some ideas for an article, and told him, you write this in Oriya. Because Bengal and Orissa are adjoining states, and Oriya language is similar to Bengali, but more difficult grammar. Now, Jati Shekhar Prabhu was from a Bengali family that was settled in Orissa, so he was expert in both Bengali and Oriya. Now, from the external point of view, Saraswat Thakur was also a Bengali who was born in Orissa, but he hadn't been educated in Oriya, so though he could understand it to some extent, he didn't speak it very well or write it. Once when he was in Cuttack, it came to Saraswat Thakur's attention that someone had written in an article in a newspaper about sannyas, writing that no one should take sannyas unless they've been through the previous three ashrams. This was particularly aimed against the Gauranga, because it was well known that Saraswat Thakur made sannyasis out of brahmacharis. So he called Jati Shekhar Prabhu, and Jati Shekhar Prabhu exactly said he was angry like fire. He said, this is not according to the Shastra. He said, a brahmachari must take sannyas. He should take sannyas. Why should he get married? He has the consciousness too, he should immediately accept sannyas. So he told Jati Shekhar Prabhu, you write an article to refute this. At that time, even now, but especially at that time, there were many Oriya writers who wrote against Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because traditionally there are many Oriya Vaishnavas who are followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult. But some of the Oriya intellectuals, they thought that, well, this Chaitanya, he came from Bengal, why should we listen to him? We're Oriya. Although actually, historically, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's forefathers, at least on his paternal side, came from Orissa. Of course, we shouldn't think of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or his great devotees like Bhaktisthan Saraswat Thakur belonging to any particular race. But there was this strong anti-Bengali feeling focused on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because they thought that the Bengali culture is dominating us. And they would say that, you see, because Prataparudra Maharaj followed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Then he became weak and non-violent and sentimental, and therefore Orissa's strength was lost, and he wasn't able to fight properly. He wasn't able to fight properly, and Orissa's strength was lost. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur instructed his followers, whenever any such article comes out, you immediately write a reply and demolish the arguments. So what happened was that all these so-called scholars, they stopped writing such things because they were afraid of getting some very pungent reply from the Gauranga. Some other stories about Tati Shweta Prabhu. There was one... Once in Katak, one queen, who's the wife of a Maharaj, Maharani, she came to visit. Is it the Gauranga? So she was the queen of Ali, which is a district in present-day Orissa. So she was called the Ali Rani, the queen of Ali. So there was, when they were serving her and her group prasad, one sannyasi told Jyoti Shekhar Prabhu that, you see, here's one very nice special mango, you give that to her. But Jyoti Shekhar Prabhu protested and said, well, this is not proper. When everyone is sitting and taking prasad together, and you shouldn't give one person something special and not give it to everyone else. So that sannyasi became very angry and started chastising. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he was up on his room, which was on the roof. You've seen in India, it's very common, they have flat roofs, and sometimes they'll just construct one room on the roof, which stands out. So Saraswati Thakur heard this commotion going on, and he looked down and asked what was going on. And he supported Jyoti Shekhar, said, you're right. And he said to the sannyasi, are you a sannyasi of the Gauriya Math, or are you the Ali Rani sannyasi? So his name was Bharati Maharaj, but from then on, Saraswati Thakur never called him by any other name except Ali Rani Sannyasi. Saraswati Thakur was, even though he was great Acharya, he didn't like that anyone would clean. He didn't like his disciples to like clean his toilet or any such thing. You see, there's one caste in India, they're called the Hari, and they traditionally clean up stool and filthy things like that. Saraswati Thakur would always insist, you call the Hari, otherwise known as Bhangi. You let them come and clean up. No, you do. So Dirti Shekhar, once when they're visiting Jajpur, a holy place in Orissa, for 2 days in a row, Dirti Shekhar Prabhu, he personally cleaned the stool and everything put this on Saraswati Thakur. When Saraswati Thakur heard about this, he was very pleased, and he said, okay, tomorrow you can take Brahman initiative. He was just first initiated. Of course, I asked Jyoti Shekhar Prabhu if he was aware of our own Guru Maharaj, who at that time was Abhay Charanaravinda Das. He said, yes. He was known in the Gauriya Math. He wasn't considered an important figure, but he was known as a good writer in English. And one thing that was known about him, that even though he was considered not such a big figure compared to the sannyasis and everyone else, I mean, he was a householder living outside. And he would visit the mat, but he was busy working to make money for his family. So that would be, you know, like many of you, like in a similar kind of position. So, but one thing about him, as Prabhupada himself described, Jyoti Shekhar Prabhu also described it, without observing any protocol, he would just walk straight into Saraswati Thakur's room and speak with him very freely. And other disciples, they were quite shocked at this. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was very open with Abhaida, as they used to call him, Abhaida or Abhay Babu. Jyoti Shekhar Prabhu said he was always had a jolly and smiling appearance. He said that once he was in Katak, in Puri, and he met Abhaida on the beach. And he, as Rasa Shekhar Prabhu, one of his duties was to collect donations. So he collected 2 rupees from a Maida and gave him a receipt. Of course, 2 rupees in those days was a lot more money than it is now. So he told him also that now Saraswati Thakur is in Puri, why don't you come and visit him? And when he was, when Dadi Shekhar Prabhu was 16, he joined the mat after leaving school, and then he was sent to Calcutta to help with the editing department, which was based in Calcutta. Because he was a young boy and very inexperienced in the world, and he'd never been outside of just his own local area. So he was sent with somebody, and it just happened that Abhaida from Calcutta was in Cuttack at that time. So he was sent with Abhaida back to, he went to Calcutta with him. Yeah. Dadi Shekhar Prabhu told that once there was a Baltistan Saraswati Thakur Hall held a meeting of some of his disciples who were good in English. He said, we need a new magazine in English. He said, we have the Harmonist magazine in English, but it's very, its pitch is a very highly intellectual one, so people already know quite a lot about this philosophy. So he said, we need another magazine in English which will present the philosophy of Krishna consciousness to people without any knowledge of it, as many of the English-speaking people are. So he asked the devotees to give different ideas for the title of the magazine. And different devotees gave different suggestions. And Abhaida, who was present there, gave the suggestion the name should be Back to Godhead. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, yes, that is the right name. He said, the motto of the Gaudiya Math is Back Home, Back to Godhead. And actually this phrase, Back to Godhead, was coined by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who often said this, the motto of the Gaudiya Math is Back to Home, Back to Godhead. Which is very interesting because, you know, nowadays some people say that, well, Prabhupada said we were in the spiritual world and we never came from, and we came from there, but that's not actually correct. And they say that none of the previous acharyas said this. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself said that the motto of the Gaudiya Math is Back to Home, Back to Godhead. Back to means what it says. It means you were there before, previously. Now it's very interesting also that Prabhupada actually started this Back to Godhead magazine himself in 1944, which was 7 years after the passing of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he wrote the founder, and then in brackets, under the direct order of Sri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami, close brackets, what did he write? Abhai Charanaravinda Das, something like this. So I was always wondering why Prabhupada put the direct order, because it was started some time after Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was passing away. But this anecdote gives the background to that. Also, I was saying about Saraswati Thakur, he didn't want his disciples to take out his stool and such things. So there's a story in Mayapur. He had a house built for him at the Chaitanya Mat, and he would take bath on the first floor. So the water would, his bath water would come down in the drain, and there was like a hole, and it would come out on the ground. So once at the time of the Navadvip Dham Parikrama, some pilgrims, when he was taking his bath, they were waiting at the drain and taking the water and putting their heads and drinking it. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he heard about this, then from that time on, he took bath in a tub, so the water wouldn't go down in the drain. And he ordered his disciples, you take this water out and throw it far away so no one can take it. That was his humility. He was very strict and uncompromising on one side. On the other side, he was very humble and very kind. Are there any questions?
Yesterday you mentioned this. There's a difference between the philosophy of monkey and the philosophy of Gaudi Vaishnavas, a person who is in a deep well. Can you dwell more on the differences?
Well, I did speak something about that.
Besides that, you mentioned those that you mentioned yesterday. Something in more detail.
Yeah, well, it's only a general example. But as I alluded to the fact that the ultimate goal of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas is anyway different to that of the Sri Vaishnavas. That ultimately, although one is always dependent upon the Lord, one attains a position in which he's apparently not dependent upon him. Those who are worshipping the Lord in awe and reverence could never consider jumping on his back, nor can we in our present state. But those who go beyond awe and reverence, they may call Krishna bad names out of love. It also serves to show that there's a great gap between the saved and the Savior, although later they become almost as equals.
Can you describe the symbol of Gaudiya Math, and especially
the logo?
Yeah, the logo, especially that preaching is considered part of Raghunanda Bhakti.
Yeah, it's preaching. Preaching has to be spontaneous, you can't do it. Some system has to be there, as in Raghunanda, but at the same time you have to be ready for anything at any time. Yeah, there are principles to be followed, but at the same time, that you have to be ready for anything at any time. Specifically, the printing press is there on the side of Raghunanda, which was... And some people were surprised that you have all these Indian things in the logo, and then you have a printing press, which doesn't seem very spiritual, it's a machine. The Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur considered that to print books and distribute them was the best service. Nowadays, some so-called followers of Bhaktisthan Saraswati, they say that ISKCON's book distribution, it's only karma yoga, it's not bhakti. But this is, I don't think such people are actually followers of Bhaktisiddhanta who put the Brihat Madanga printing press in his logo on the side of Radha Marg. Such people that talk of Radha Marg, but they don't know that Radha Marg is based on service. So this service of printing and distributing books is the most important service for delivering the conditioned souls, which is the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the combined form of Radha and Krishna. Having said that, I'm going to suggest that we have a few books here for distribution and some prasadam also. There's much, much more to be sent. It's all coming in books. Just like I can